Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Christmas is drawing near, and it's time to reflect on the Christmas story, perhaps in a way you never have before. In the first part of a two-part program, let's go in-depth with Pastors Sophie and Steve Mathenay Vanderwell with Second Reformed Church in Pella. So, Pastor, where do we get the Christmas story that's so important this time of year?
Well, the Christmas story is the also called sometimes the story of the Nativity or the birth of Jesus. And it is told in two separate Gospels, the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, in two different ways. And basically tells the story of a baby born in Bethlehem to a young mother named Mary and a father named Joseph. There are four Gospels, and two of them, Luke and Matthew, tell the story of Jesus' birth. The other Gospels tell the story of Jesus' life, as do Matthew and Luke, but they don't necessarily tell the story of where or how he was born.
And I think we've sort of leaned more heavily on Luke's account of Christmas. I mean, if you go to church on Christmas Eve, you'll probably hear Luke's account. This is the one with the manger and no room in the inn. But Matthew also does have this account. And then we have tended to kind of conflate them, sort of stick both stories in a blender, mix them up, and come out with one story, which isn't, there's nothing really wrong with it, as long as we understand that they were two distinct stories, and they each have their own perspective, their own audience, their own agenda.
Is that commonly known? I mean, when I hear the Christmas story in church, that isn't how it's presented.
Right. Well, What is commonly known to anybody who would read the Bible carefully is that, in fact, they are there. There are two stories. And if you're paying attention, you'll know that, like Steve said a few minutes ago, often on Christmas Eve, the Lucan narrative or the Lucan story is told. And if you pay attention, you might hear maybe a week after the story from Matthew. It's true that when children do pageants, the two are somewhat conflated because the three wise men appear at the end of kind of the manger scene. And the three wise men is in the Matthew account, but not in the Luke account. So, you know, if you're careful and perceptive and maybe read scripture on your own, you would know this or you would notice these. But it's true that in kind of popular ways, the church kind of conflates the two.
Probably to tell the narrative, you know, on a particular Sunday morning, you have to craft an engaging narrative, and so you pick different elements.
Correct.
Right. And you know, just to give kind of a background thumbnail sketch. So, Luke, the one that we're probably most familiar with, before the birth of Jesus, probably focuses more on Mary. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and then has Mary and Joseph as people who are from the north, from Nazareth, who have to go to Bethlehem because of the census, the tax imposed by the Romans. And then there's no room in the inn. They have their baby, place him in the manger. The shepherds come. So you get this northern couple that goes south to Bethlehem. And it's important, both stories agree that Jesus is born in Bethlehem, which is important since he's coming out of the line of King David, and Bethlehem is David's town. But then Matthew has them in Bethlehem, apparently a couple from Bethlehem, and instead of shepherds visiting, we have these magi, these strange magicians, astrologer, astronomers from the east coming and bringing gifts to a house. So there's no talk of a manger there. And then because of the threat of Herod, the family has to flee first to Egypt because Jesus is under threat. And there is this terrible story of the killing of all the baby boys. And they live in Egypt briefly and then finally flee to the north. So in either story, you get him born in Bethlehem, but eventually living up north in Nazareth. And So there's lots of commonalities, but it still comes at it. It comes at it differently. And I said, like I said, it isn't just the facts. I think we want to say that they are, like I said, speaking to different audiences and trying to make different points about who Jesus is, who he is for, and what the message of the gospel is.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the Christmas story with Pastors Sophie and Steve Matheny Vanderwell with Second Reformed Church in Pella.
Well, who are the two different audiences that they're addressing?
Well, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, was particularly aimed at a Jewish audience. And so you'll find in the Gospel of Matthew frequent references back to the Old Testament and, you know, even this whole killing of infant boys in Bethlehem by edict from King Herod sort of harkens back to the time of Moses, when the Pharaoh had made an edict that all Jewish baby boys would be killed. So there are kind of reminiscences, if you will, of what Jewish people would have known in their blood, because these were the stories that, you know, that created who they were and what their identity was. Luke, on the other hand, was a gospel written to Gentile audiences. And Luke seems particularly fond of reminding us that the Messiah came especially to those who were not at the center of society. So the shepherds, we think of shepherds as somehow endearing folk, but shepherds were the lowest of the low in Israel at the time. And so for shepherds to be the first who received the announcement of the birth of the Messiah would be like for us to be told that the homeless bum on a corner somewhere was the first to receive the good news.
It's subversive, though.
Well, subversive, or at least explaining. I mean, I think what we are saying is that the whole message that we get through the whole gospel is already kind of contained in miniature in this story. I mean, back to Matthew, written to Jews. Another interesting thing is then, but who are the visitors there? Gentiles, these foreigners. Now, tradition tells us the Magi came from Iraq, Iran, Arabia, someplace, but we just know they came from the East. But they're Gentiles. They're not Jews. So again, Matthew is sort of saying, look, he comes to the Jews, he comes to the royal city, and they don't get it. It's these people who have, in a sense, patiently watched the skies for a star that get it. Although, there's again a nice little twist there. The star gets them to Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, the Magi have to stop and ask directions, and there the Jews give them final directions, which we often would say would tell us, and this would be a good kind of Jewish point, nature, the stars will get you so far, but to finally get to the destination, you need the word of God. You need scripture spoken to you. So there's all these little interesting things. And then, as Sophie was saying, the shepherds in Luke being kind of the outcasts. We also have, in both of them, bad guys. You know, in Luke, you have the Romans imposing a census and a tax on these people. And then the message to the shepherds is kind of a counter to that. Glory to God in the highest. I bring you good news of great joy. These have echoes of a royal birth, that here in this manger is being born the counter emperor, who is not the one that's going to make you pay taxes and not this heavy-handed, oppressive Roman person, a new kind of emperor. And so you've got all kinds of, I guess you could use the word subversive. Matthew, you've got the bad guy Herod out there killing babies. So you've got good news, but already in the Christmas story we're told there's going to be opposition to this. It's a dangerous world that this little baby is born into.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the Christmas story with Pastors Sophie and Steve Matheny Vanderwell with Second Reformed Church in Pella.
Who were the Gentiles?
So the Gentiles were any and everyone who was not Jewish. And it was a term used by Jews, by Jewish people, to refer to everyone else.
Okay, so then what's the significance then of the Gentiles coming with that message?
Well, because the Jews really believed that they had, if you will, a covenant with God, a covenant to be God's people. And it was their understanding that the Gentiles did not. But the message of Jesus, born to the Jews, was that ultimately the good news would be for everyone. And you have actually, you know, seeds of that in the Old Testament. When Abraham, the father of the Jews, was called, God promised that he would be blessed, become a great nation, so that he could be a blessing to the world. So already within kind of this sense of specialness that the Jews had about being the people of the covenant were the seeds of the fact that all people would be called to God through them.
And so I think both stories are, in a way, kind of shattering kind of narrowness and setting the stage for what's going to come in Jesus and then the church for just a wider and wider and more inclusive message of good news. That in Luke we find out, wow, Jesus has come, and the lowest of the low, the shepherds, the marginal people in society, they are welcome. In fact, they are the first to be welcome. In Matthew, we have this message of these Gentiles, as Sophie said, the non-Jews, the outsiders, they too are welcome. So all of our little kind of narrow preconceived notion that God is for this sort of person are stretched, if not blown apart, already in the Christmas story.
And so the Gentiles were either hungering for something or needing something to even pay attention to the message?
Well, I mean, at least in the Christmas narrative, it appears that the Gentiles, the three wise men or kings or whatever you want to call them, although Scripture never says that there were three of them, it simply says there were wise men from the East who brought three gifts. So the church has sort of assumed then that there were three, but the text doesn't actually say so. But they were seekers. They were looking at the stars, and when they arrived in Jerusalem, they specifically asked, "We have come to seek the one who is to be born King of the Jews, and where is he to be born?" And that's when they are given instructions to go to Bethlehem, the city of David. So yes, there's a sense in which, at least in the Gospel of Matthew, that some Gentiles were seekers.
What's the most important thing that you would like people to take away from this first of a two-part interview about the meaning of the Christmas story?
Well, I would say that the meaning of the Christmas story is that in Jesus, God came to be with and among us, not in power and might, but instead in weakness and vulnerability, in an infant born on the edge of society. So God is present with us in Jesus, and we should look then not in the halls of power, but we should look on the edges of society for God.
I think I'd second the motion that it's interesting, it's fun to kind of pull the stories apart, set them side by side, but let's remember the commonality. A child has been born to us. God loves us so much that God came seeking us. And as Sophie said, not with grandeur, but with kind of humility and obscurity. And even I think of the Magi, the patience of watching stars. I don't have that kind of patience. But in those places where the patient people are, the seekers are, God comes, God is with us.
Thanks to Pastors Sophie and Steve Matheny Vanderwell for contributing to the program. Tomorrow on In Depth, Part 2. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information In Depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the Radio Audio Media Player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.